Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you joined us today in Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm your teacher, Ruth, and we are in the midst of a very interesting discussion on copyright law, fair use or abuse. And I wonder if some of you maybe thought about that a little bit after yesterday's program, about what your habits are and how you use or abuse copyright. And maybe you've made some decisions or maybe you haven't. But today we're going to be talking more about the idea and we're going to be looking at fair use. But first of all, let's think a little bit about what we talked about yesterday. Albert, welcome to the program.
It's good to be back, and it's good to be here today to talk about this and, just go further into it.
What is something that you remember from yesterday's program that particularly impressed you?
Well, the fact that Google received about 2 million takedown notices every day in 2016. So every day, about 2 million people were uploading and sharing something that was not theirs. And I feel like, again, it goes back to I don't feel like people are just being evil or bad in a sense, but they're just sharing it to the point where, they didn't realize, hey, this is, someone else's. I feel like this is something that is, people, these musicians and artists, they took the effort to create something good for everyone. And, on our end, sometimes, it just takes a little bit extra effort just to find out, maybe I shouldn't reshare this one that's not from the artists themselves or the record companies themselves. Maybe I should go through that extra effort.
Right. As we talked about, a takedown notice is something that the owner of the copyright files with the platform to get the content removed. And oftentimes, too, I think there's the attitude that it's just one time. It's just sharing something, and it's not really that big a deal. But you don't go beyond that thinking that it's one time for me, but there may be 10,000 one-timers out there, and that does make a big impact.
Or in this sense, millions.
Yes, 2 million a day, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Well, what impressed you yesterday from our program, Lois, that you'd like our listeners to remember?
Well, I think when I read this whole program and prepared for it myself, it really hit me how much effort and money it takes to actually have something on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's being shown on YouTube as well, and it's gone through what it needs to go through to be legal there. But it's just like you have to respect that. I think this made me realize I need to respect what these artists are doing. And there's a whole, as Albert reminded us, there's a whole bunch more people involved than just that front man, front woman. We have so many people that get them to that position.
Exactly.
And it is employing a lot of people. And you know what? One of those people might be your neighbors.
That's right, or it might be one of your relatives, too.
Yeah, I really feel like this is such a tricky subject ideas and rules to navigate through. Because, if you asked me 10 years ago what I thought about this, I'd be like, oh, share it, But now, after working for many years, you can see, people make that effort out of labor, out of love, out of, just wanting to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. And I see both sides, I can see it from the person uploading it and wanting to share it, and I can also see it from the person who's creating this content and seeing, how it affects them when they put something out there and they're not, just being compensated fairly for it.
Exactly. And I think that the key there is compensated fairly. I wonder how many of our listeners ever sit at the end of a movie and watch all the credits.
Oh.
You know how many people it takes to make a movie. The credits go on for 10 minutes or more.
Yeah. I'm one of those people.
Of names and names and names. Yeah. So every time that you post a movie online, think about all those people that you're basically taking money out of their pocket.
Right.
And you would never physically go and take their wallet.
No.
But that's what you're doing.
Exactly. I always want to watch them just in case there's somebody I know. So I just always think there might be someone involved that I know. So
I actually don't stay for the credits, but it doesn't even stop there. When the credits end, it also goes out. There's a whole network, of the movie theaters, of the people delivering the movies, truck drivers. It just goes on and on and on.
It does. And a lot of times I think that the user who can click a couple times to post something doesn't even think about all of that. And, it's perfectly natural because we often spontaneously do things that we don't think about the consequences for. Well, we need to get on to today's content. If you haven't yet, please open your magazines to page 21. We're going to start at the top of the column, and we're going to talk about permissible to a point, the idea of fair use.
Permissible to a point. Fair use allows for the limited reproduction of content without permission from the copyright holder. Emphasis on limited. Your local TV station can show a snippet of a football game that was broadcast by another network under fair use. There is no legal statute specifying the maximum length a video or audio clip can be. But it has long been accepted practice that a clip cannot exceed 30 seconds and that it must be quoted in a transformative work, such as a remix, a mashup, or a hip-hop sample. This loose definition is widely honored in the TV industry, the music industry, book publishing, and academia, among other sectors. Tech companies abet the routine violation of it.
So we've mentioned this phrase several times, fair use. What exactly is fair use, Albert? How does our article describe it?
Well, that's a good question. Fair use allows for the limited reproduction or copies of content without permission or needing to ask the copyright holder. Now, emphasis is on limited, and also I feel like, you know, having fair use as a law is something that's good for, like, people who want to, like, do satire on content or, you know, criticism. You know, they might take clips and be like, oh, here's an example to provide to show you what it is. So it's actually, you know, it's good to have it.
Exactly. Fair use is something which actually can work to the benefit of both the person using it and the copyright holder if it promotes someone to go out and say, hey, well, I really like that clip. Maybe I'll go out and buy the whole movie. For example, in education, we here at Studio Classroom, we often make use of this whole idea of fair use because we like to give you listeners examples of things. And sometimes it's nice to take a little clip of something to show you exactly what we're talking about. But as Albert said, the emphasis is on limited. You can't just post the whole thing. You need to use one part of it. And an example here is your local TV station can show a snippet of a football game.
Right. And so the word snippet means just a small bit, and it's often an interesting piece, something that will, we call it a hook, something that will get you interested and draw you in.
That's right. And I like the word snippet because if I look at, I see the word snip, which means a small cut. So if you snip one thing, it's like you're taking a little tiny part to show for something. And you see this a lot on the evening news. They will be, maybe they're talking about a new movie that's opened at the movie theater. They'll show a snippet of the trailer or of the movie itself, as Lois said, kind of like a hook or a teaser.
Right.
And that, I think, can work to the benefit of both, because one can use it as an example and the other one can use it kind of as advertising almost.
It's done a lot in sports because there's a lot of sports to report on in the world. And if we just give a little snippet, it kind of draws a person in, and it's their sport they like and like to cheer on their team. And I know for myself, I really do look for that because I'm a sports follower. So
right, but here's the warning: is some networks do not take kindly to even a little bit. If you think of the big sports networks like ESPN, if you ever take a little bit of theirs and rebroadcast it, you are guaranteed to get a letter from their writer as a takedown because they don't even like even a little bit of their content being used. So some are very, very, I could say, rabid about that. They're very particular. But, however, there is no legal statute, and a statute is a law or a strict rule that specifies the maximum length of video or audio that can be used. But what has the accepted practice been? How long is the accepted length of that fair use clip?
Well, it said a maximum length of video or audio clip can be is not supposed to exceed 30 seconds in length.
Right, so it's not supposed to go over. To exceed means to go over. So it can't be more than 30 seconds. But there's a second part to this, and it must be quoted in a transformative work. And what is that, Albert, a transformative work?
Well, something, you know, that just changes it up a little bit, you know. So it's something that it's not just using the clip itself, but you're using it with context and content.
Okay, and we mentioned here three different things. A remix, a mashup, or a hip-hop sample. In other words, you're taking something and repurposing it or using it in a different way, so that way it's not exactly copied from what the other person did, but it's got a little bit of a difference. For example, if you take the clip and you put it in a news report, it's being used in a different sense because it's repurposed. It's used as an example as part of a larger whole. But this loose definition, in other words, this 30-second maximum, is widely honored in the TV industry, the music industry, book public, and academia, meaning colleges and universities. However, what about tech companies?
Well, you know, in tech companies, things I feel like are happening at a rapid clip. And so they want to stay on top and be popular, so they kind of like abet it, like they will encourage people to do it or their users to uphold this, but they're probably not enforcing it.
Well, and actually, they're encouraging people to violate it.
Right.
In other words, so it's not just 30 seconds. We're not going to play 30 seconds of the new Lady Gaga song. We're going to post the entire thing.
Right.
And I don't know if some of you remember or you're familiar with movies, but there was a movie out last summer that was a biography of Tupac Shakur, the big, you know, hip-hop artist. And actually, the copyright owner of the material on which the movie was based filed a takedown order because the movie people had not requested his permission to use his material.
Oh, interesting.
So there are cases like this all the time about what is fair use and maybe the author thought, because I'm repurposing this whole content, I can therefore use it. But he didn't just use a little bit, he used the whole thing.
Right. And you'll notice with the Olympics are coming up again, the Winter Olympics, you will notice they don't go for this at all, the Olympic Committee. Actually, they just have stills now. They just have photos. You get to watch the Olympics when the Olympics is on, whether you go to it or you watch the designated stations that they show it on. But if you watch the sportscast after, they're just still pictures now.
They don't show any video at all.
No video at all.
Right. And I just want to go back on why tech companies were advocate for this or support this. And I feel like it's because, like, you know, most tech companies are like media platforms.
Right.
And content for them matters. The only reason why, well, not the only reason, but I feel like a main reason what draws us back to constantly checking our Instagram or Facebook is we want to see interesting and fun and new content, right? Mm-hmm. And if people were to abuse this fair use of sharing content, then, you know, when we go back, it's like we're guaranteed that there's always going to be fresh stuff to look at. And, you know, it's just to hang out on the social media platform and they can sell us ads and whatnot.
That's
right. But basically,
right.
Yeah, that's why they're so supportive of this.
So it's interesting that then they are trying to use someone else's content for their own gain.
Right.
So, and then again, you have to think about the legality of that. How is it legal or not? Well, it is, according to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It's legal to do it. But then you have to go further. Is it right? Because sometimes there's the whole attitude of what's yours is mine.
Oh.
In other words, there's no line between this belongs to me and that belongs to you. It's like, if it belongs to you, well, I can use it. That's no problem. She won't care. But maybe she does. So I think sometimes the music industry or the movie industry feels like they are fighting a losing battle. Let's read the next section of our article.
Fighting a losing battle. Tech companies have a strong financial incentive to erode copyright law because their businesses grow in part through the recycling and repurposing of content. Copyright holders have an equally strong incentive to protect it. Faced with the deep pockets of the tech industry, copyright holders are fighting a losing battle. The only way to get internet companies to honor the widely accepted understanding of fair use is to make it law. Although the current legal definition makes one thing crystal clear, you cannot use a work in its entirety and still claim fair use. It leaves many aspects of the doctrine open to interpretation. the Register of Copyrights should codify a 30-second time limit for audio and video clips and require that content be used in a transformative or interpretive way.
Fighting a losing battle. This is a phrase that we often hear, and it basically means that you're trying really hard to conquer something or to win a situation, but it just keeps popping up again in different places, so you're basically going to lose in the end. And this is the way I think that sometimes the copyright holders feel, is that they are fighting a losing battle. Because as Albert said, tech companies have a strong financial incentive to erode this copyright because their business grows the more new content they have. What is an incentive?
Incentive is something like that gives you a purpose or goal or drive. You know, it's what you want to strive for because in the end you'll gain this reward.
Yes. I can think, for example, in the newspaper in my hometown in Bozeman, Montana, some businesses are looking for workers, and they really want to hire people, so they offer a financial incentive of,
ooh,
I'll pay you $1,000 if you'll come and work for me right off the top.
Right.
Sometimes they it's a financial incentive. Sometimes they call it a signing bonus or
right.
something. So they want to erode the copyright laws. And if you know the whole idea of erosion, it just means slowly, little by little, some of the dirt gets worn away by the water. So if you erode the copyright, it means you push the limit just a little bit more and a little bit more until
finally, the copyright, we might say, has no more teeth in it. It's not very powerful anymore.
Ooh, that's really good.
Yes, and in part, this is through recycling and repurposing of content, okay? Maybe someone thinks it would be funny to take somebody's music video, but instead of using the audio, they just use the pictures and they put on, you know, a silly voice or something singing the same song, and it, you know, it's kind of like a satire or just a, you know, a joke. But again, that's recycling somebody's content and they're not getting any incentive for it. So the tech companies have an incentive to keep posting new content. What about the copyright holders? They have an incentive to protect it. And what is their incentive?
Well, to be able to, like you mentioned yesterday, be able to recoup the money they spent in time and effort in making the content.
Because, as you know, to create something, it can take a lot of time.
Right.
I mean, even as a writer, to sit down and write something, you go over and over and you ask people's opinion and you get ideas to write a book.
Exactly, and you might even go to a different location to write that book mm-hmm. or even that article.
So in order to make back your money from it or even make a profit, because the profit is what improves your life. If you're just making back your costs, that is kind of empty because you're
right.
not really gaining anything. So they feel like they're fighting a losing battle because the tech industry has deep pockets. And this is another good phrase to know, is deep pockets.
Right. deep pockets means they're weighed down with all that change in money in the pockets of their pants. That's where we get the idea. So it's weighing them down. They don't actually have it in their pockets. It means they have big, huge bank accounts and very effective lawyers. I also think of the term, when I think of this, I think of the David and Goliath syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got the Goliath, which is the tech company, and David is the people kind of waving the white flag, leave mm-hmm. me alone, and I want to protect this.
And it's hard to fight somebody with deep pockets because they have so many resources available to them.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, you know, to lawyer up, to hire lawyers, even just to hold them to help you with a case from day to day costs a lot of money. So sometimes, you know, you see news about this, how like a big company is picking on a little person and mm-hmm. they can't really fight back because to hire a lawyer, sometimes the big companies just have to wait it out. They can just drag the court dates further back and, you know, the individual can't hold on to having that lawyer on retainer or whatnot. And it's funny how like, in today's age, is to reverse where the tech companies have the deep pockets and not like the record industry or mm-hmm. the Hollywood studios. Yeah.
It's a different era, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. And the fact that, again, sometimes I think the tech companies have so much to gain, they're willing to take these risks, and because they have money to be able to fight them, they can. Well, now, a lot of people or copyright holders or creative artists are thinking the only way to get internet companies to honor this idea of fair use is to make it a law. In other words, say you may use X amount of seconds and no more. So although the current legal definition makes one thing crystal clear, when something is crystal clear, it's perfectly clear, there's no doubt, that you cannot use a work in its entirety and claim fair use, there's still some aspects of this doctrine or this idea that are open to interpretation. So in other words, fair use means different things to different people. So the Register of Copyrights should codify, which means basically to make it very clear exactly what that means, the 30-second limit for audio and video clips and require content used in a transformative or interpretive way. In other words, that's what they think should be the law. So a transformative way meaning changing it so it's not identical anymore. Interpretive meaning your own take or your own idea of what the content is. Do you think that's a good idea, Albert, to require that as law?
Yeah, you know, it seems like, for now, it seems like this is really a good compromise between copyright holders and, you know, people that want to share content and also the platforms that, you know, have the content.
Because they'd still get new content, right?
That's right.
I think they have to move on something now. This is a start. They obviously can't just stay stagnant. It can't stay the way it is. So let's try something new. This is a little bit of a change, and maybe it will benefit both sides, but we really want to benefit the people that are putting new content out. Wouldn't it be a shame not to have new content because the individual artist, whatever the case may be, is afraid they will never make a profit? They can't just cover mm-hmm. their costs, as we've been mentioning.
That's right. Well, let's read about the consequences now, because actually that mentions the very thing that Lois just said.
The consequences. The ambiguous definition of fair use allows for its continued abuse, and this abuse has become a gateway for the further eroding of copyright law. By now, it is well understood that the rise of tech monopolies such as YouTube and Google has hastened the decline of publishing industries. If we don't move to safeguard copyright law now, there will be no new content to remix.
So the consequences are big for both sides of this controversy, but probably there's more invested in the copyright holders because this ambiguous definition of fair use allows for its continued abuse. What is ambiguous, Lois?
Well, it means it's not clear. You have to do a lot to dismantle it and figure it out. So if the definition isn't clear maybe only to their legal team, mm-hmm. well, how are any of us going to know what to do or how to react? Or
exactly.
We won't.
And because it isn't clear, there's no definite boundaries, you can push the limits and you can kind of stretch what the definition is. So it's become a gateway or an opening then for further eroding of copyright law. And by now, it's understood that the rise of tech companies like YouTube and Google has hastened the decline of publishing industries. People would rather read their content online on a platform than they would buy a book, a play, or a record.
Or even a newspaper, right?
That's right. So now the question is, unless we safeguard or do something to protect copyright laws, there may be no new content. And that's a serious problem.
It is a serious problem. You know, because like there's like for people choosing a profession, you know, maybe they have the passion for music or, you know, cinematography or whatnot, but mm-hmm. then they're like, well, I can't make a viable living out of it, so it's something I shouldn't go and pursue. I feel like it seems if I was a starting artist, starting out, it seems like a bleak future.
Exactly.
Where like, if I do create something amazing, it would just be taken away from me and people will enjoy it, which is great, but at the same time, I don't know if I can continue that line of work.
You'll be a starving artist as a result of a tech industry?
Well, it's, I think a lot of times you read in newspapers and magazines, you read about things being fair. And I think this is really what it comes down to is what I'm doing and how I'm treating the content fair to the person who created it. I remember one author that I worked with in copyright law saying that the whole thing is like a piece of a pie. You have to take care of your portion of it, and so everybody benefits from it. And if I just take it and don't think about what I'm doing and how it affects other people, then it isn't fair.
Right. And I feel like this line where it says, you know, like YouTube and Google and other tech companies has hastened the decline of the publishing industry, I don't know if that's exactly a bad thing, and I may be like misinformed on this, but I feel like while, you know, like physical media like CDs and vinyl records and like books may be on the decline, I feel like digital copies and accessibility and people buying it, you know, it's like ease of transaction has gone up, I feel like, worldwide. I can know about an artist from another country that I wouldn't normally before the age of the internet. So I feel like that is on the rise.
Well, and I think that's true, but also the publishing industry did go down, but now I do think it's coming back up. I went to an international media conference, and magazines are discovering that there is a market for the digital and also still for the print, and that is coming back up. And just like I mentioned earlier, there is a huge market now for vinyl records. Those are coming back as well. So things are changing, and I think it's a case of you need to figure out what a system is that makes it work for everybody and makes it fair. So, listeners, be sure that you're being fair to the copyright holder when you want to share something. Make sure that they're getting their piece of the pie. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and you think about some of these concepts and share it with someone in English. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.